My name is Eileen. At the beginning of the war, 1939, I was 20. Previously, though I was born in Victoria for the first few years of my life, we lived in southeast London, quite near the Surrey Docks, which later in the life in the war was burnt terribly with all the ships coming in and spread all over London like a real red roof. And I worked in a place that made nets for farmers, you know, binder twine, things like that. But on the outbreak of war, they had to carry on with war work, so they made camouflage nets. And though I wanted to join up with some of my other friends in the forces, I was on an important job. I did wages and telephone things, and they said, we'll have difficulty in getting anybody, so we'll get you on a, what they called an executive, you know, and, well, just for a few months at a time, get you excused from going into the forces. Though they wouldn't have stopped me if I'd have determined. I suppose I was looking after the firm, thinking, oh, I mustn't let them down. And I regretted it later because some of my friends in the forces did enjoy themselves. But that didn't deter me, because I didn't settle down and have my child until 44. So the war years were just, with the terrible bombing that going on, it was very scary. I'm not saying it wasn't. But I thought I might be dead tomorrow, so I really enjoyed myself. I know it's a terrible thing to say when you read about all these people dying and things, but I thought I might be dead tomorrow, so I didn't. Being a dancer, which I had been on the stage years before the war, I thought, well, I'm not giving up my dancing. I went dancing nearly every night. I went to the pictures, well, we called them pictures, the films, and even in the films, when there was a raid on, they used to say to people, you can either go out or take a chance. If this gets bombed, well, that's that. So I thought, no, if they carry on the film, I'm not going to miss it. So I did. And in some ways, at the end of the war, I felt that I'd missed out. I'd been, but on the other hand, I learnt first aid and fire watching. So I did my bit in looking after the property around, especially when I got over to this side, because during the war we moved over here, and because some of the big houses, the la-di-da people, well, I shouldn't say that, but the more important people with money went away, and because we looked after their houses in case they got incendiary bombs, which could do a lot of damage, and you had to report those incendiary bombs and to the AFS it was called, and learnt first aid in case, you know, you were called on before they could get any nurses or anybody. So in one way, I shouldn't say I enjoyed it. It was frightening, and it's a thing that you don't forget. There's certain instances. I know we in South London, we didn't have a Anderson shelter, but my friends across the road did. And so when the warning was sounded, we used to dash across the road, shut our front door, dash across the road. Even our cat followed us. And I know one time going across, we could see the planes above, and I thought, I didn't have a tin hat then, and I thought shrapnel might be coming, and I put my hands above my head. Well, that wouldn't have saved me at all. But when we got to their house, their house was bombed, and we were all in the Anderson shelter, crammed in there, because he'd made it lovely, the man, bunk beds and things. But the door burst open, and all the dust came in, nearly choked us all. And that was really frightening. I think we all shook for days after that. But then I came over to here, when we moved over here. We had underground shelters in the pavement, which were very good, and so we could go into that. So there was nothing really exciting, but on the other hand, nothing fatal, strangely enough, or good really. I didn't lose anyone in the war, so though my cousin was at Dunkirk and he came back and he thought it was terrible here because we couldn't get at people, you know. And so that's all. I was lucky not to have lost anybody, that's all.